This music right here is by Clear Oaks. It's from her CD Patanjali, or Patanjali. That's the correct way to do it, Patanjali. And we have a number of CDs. She put this out along with Leela. And Claire is going to be, at the same time, Claire is going to be with us at 3 o'clock. And we'll be playing her music. Just to let you know, this is Clear Oaks. And this is sacred music. I want to thank you all for being with us today on... In the spirit, and I want to introduce to you our next guest. I'm very happy to say that Charlene M. Proctor, PhD, is on the line. She is the author of The Oneness Blessing and Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. We are all one with God. We are all one with each other, but how can we embrace these simple truths in our everyday lives? Many Indian teachers, as well as Jesus, has offered this insight and encouraged us to open up to our own potential. In her revolutionary new book, The Oneness Gospel, best-selling author Charlene M. Proctor, PhD, unites spiritual wisdom from the East and West to help readers experience Christ consciousness in the here and now. Combining the oneness teachings of India with a fresh look at the New Testament, she gives profound but practical advice on releasing your emotional suffering, shifting disorder to order in your personal life, and embracing the present moment. Through ancient and contemporary wisdom and personal stories, you expand your heart and mind and awaken to your eternal nature. These teachings are interfaith and apply to all religions and creeds. They show that God exists within every individual and that everyone is already a part of the divine unity. Above all, the Oneness Gospel guides you toward higher self-awareness and a more authentic experience of your own nature. Charlene M. Proctor, PhD, is an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking and a Diksha facilitator trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. She is the best-selling author of Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power, Positive Thinking, and the Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 affirmations that change everyday problems into moments of potential. Her Midwestern sensibility and spiritual approach to self-empowerment have helped thousands awaken to the magnificence of the divine within. CharleneProctor.com, CharleneProctor.com to find her books and empowering messages. She's with us right now. Let's say hello. Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Gary. It's so good to be back on the show. I've missed you.
Hey, it's been, how long has it been?
Probably 2 years, because that's how long it took me to write this book.
You know, and we were really getting along, and then poof, we're out of each other's lives, right?
We imparted great wisdom and then went on to another plateau of understanding of something.
See,
I wish
I used those words instead of what I just said. But it's very true. I mean, we're all moving in whatever direction we need to move in.
I know.
And I'm so glad that the time and timing has brought us together again.
Me too. You know, those last two books are a lot about positive thinking and affirmations and so forth. And, you know, I don't know. I guess you, because I consider you to be a spiritual teacher, too. It's like, well, when you kind of complete that, you just go where God's telling you to go next. And that's called living in the flow, and I've been learning how to do that more in life. So I wound up getting real interested in some of the teachings that were coming over from India and kind of landed in the Eastern world for a while, and me as a researcher and a writer, you know, I found it very intriguing, especially during this time on the planet. There's so much discord and negativity and polarity, and, you know, something that would, a piece that would kind of unite the East and the West and gather some of the more important ideas and see their congruence, you know, I thought was an important message. So, yeah, that's kind of how the oneness gospel came about.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a little experience in this myself and Deeksha.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Manish Damour, do you know him?
Oh, yeah.
He put out this CD a few years back, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's called Om Deeksha,
mm-hmm.
And it is just a wonderful selections on that. You've heard this CD,
mm-hmm,
then?
Mm-hmm. Oh, years ago. Well, years, not to say years. They play them in the workshops, and there's something very vibrationally sound about that particular musical piece because it opens. You can feel yourself, if you're sensitive to the energy, really opening up and getting your download from the matrix, I call it. So anyway, what about that CD?
Well, you know, they were playing it. See, I went to some Deeksha training too.
Yeah.
You know, well, I received Deeksha. I wasn't learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I connected with the Saima group.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing something very similar to that,
mm-hmm.
and I learned how to do that. So we would do that with each other.
Yeah, I remember years ago. This is before I got involved in Oneness University in India, and I had attended many of Sai Ma's events, and I found them very profound because actually she was the first one who had given me a blessing, or this energetic transmission we call the blessing. And actually, if I even went more back from that, I remember Barbara D'Angelo. Do you know her? She's written a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. No.
D'Angelo's. And
oh, yeah, I do.
She called me, and we got in a conversation, and she said, you know, you got to go see Sai Ma. And I said, why? What's going on? You know, of course, I'm in a state of suffering, going from one thing to another. And so we talked about it, and she said she thought it would change my life. And so I went online, and I looked at some link that she had provided for me. And it was very strange because I had my hands on the keyboard. I have so many stories in my life about our energetic connection between each other as humans.
Yes.
Had my fingers on the keyboard that day, and I could feel the energy coming through the keyboard. And I said, you know what? It makes no sense. I'm just going to go. And so I went, and she's got her main group, I think, in Colorado, and flew out there and participated. And that was the first time that I'd been in a darshan with her. And there were 400 people there, you know, that day.
Yeah.
And it takes so long to receive a blessing. But when I did, it was very it was like breaking a piece of ice open and opening your heart and feeling this sense of release that is very indescribable. And I think it's the first step towards initiating this path to healing that many, many, many people in the West are looking for. And I had later, after I'd got involved with Oneness University, I went back to some of the guides that had worked for Simon. I said, you know, I wondered, is this the same work that they are doing out in India? And they told me that, well, the Diksha is the same. Maybe the intention behind it is different because, you know, all the energies we have are propelled by different types of vibrations and intentions. And the intention and the vibration that the blessing or the Diksha that Amma and Bhagwan have facilitated from this Indian source out in India, their intention is to awaken humanity to a higher level of conscious awareness. And there are many, as you know, Gary, different kinds of Dikshas and energetic healings and so forth. And their whole premise is that we are gifted enough as human beings to be able to learn how to do this for each other. And when one person awakens and achieves this higher level of conscious awareness, which is really about understanding our oneness, that we are each of us part of this divinity, this light that is congruent with everything and everyone in the universe. Once we tap into that power and we can understand how to give the blessing, it's like a domino effect. You know, one person gives it to another and so forth, and they feel that once we facilitate this as a world community, we're going to raise our vibration or consciousness to a higher level, and that's going to help create more peace and joy and so forth. So I thought the work that was going out there was very interesting. But, you know, on a personal level, what led me there was a lot of personal suffering in our family, and I think that's always a dark area that propels any one of us towards some sort of inner growth or spiritual transformation or healing or what have you.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, personal suffering. And we certainly had a lot of it in our family at the time. And what had happened to me personally, which was another impetus behind writing this book, was that I, and you're going to laugh at this, but here I am, a spiritual and self-help author and a spiritual teacher, and I cannot heal my own self. I had experienced the suffering in our family, and what happens is that when you are retaining these traumas within the energy layers of the body or the koshas, they kind of get stuck there, and then they start manifesting into physical disease. I mean, we all know this, being authors of books on positive thinking. I mean, it's just the way life works. And so here I was, mentally and spiritually being able to move forward in some way, but my body was not catching up to it. And I had developed cancer and a terrible back injury. And as you know, when we hurt our backs or our back goes out on us, it's always about support. We feel very unsupported.
God. That's what I've been
too
going
much
through.
Is on our shoulders. We're carrying the burdens of everyone. That's what back injury is about. And cancer is about something eating away at you. It's eating you from the inside out. And I had a...
Oh, my gosh.
That was a wreck. I mean, that's probably why I didn't call you for so long. I had a... they thought I had a stroke, and you know, because I had paralysis in my face. And I'm like, what is all this going on? I mean, I had to find some way to release this stuff, and I didn't know how. And, you know, it's really interesting now that I'm thinking and talking about this, is that so many people in the West are looking for this mystical connection, this experience of the divine. And we can pray and meditate and go through the motions all day long, but I think what we really crave is this intimate experience with this divine and this energy and this this state of being or bliss that we keep reading about and don't seem to be able to wrap our head and our mind around. And I'll tell you, I went to a session out in, I don't know where it was. It was out west somewhere, Arizona or Palm Beach, Palm Desert, is it? Something like that. And had experienced more of these dikshas and got a little bit more flavor for what they were doing. And I'd realized that if I wanted to take it to the next level, I had to get out there. And they were holding programs with the Oneness Dasas. And a Dasa, you know, is a monk, a holy person, who is under the tutelage of some other spiritual master. And they had all studied with Bhagwan for years. So these guides were giving these programs in Fiji. So I went. I actually went twice, and I was out there for quite a while. And I'll tell you, the blessing is very powerful, and the way that they get us to understand how to release the suffering, to really get rid of it, is amazing. And so, you know, all these lessons that they were providing us, and consequently the years and years of pages and pages of notes of stories and teachings, I kind of compiled some of the meat of that, and I call them the oneness teachings, and that's what this book is about. That it was very, very interesting, and I thought after I'd worked on it for a while that I thought there was an amazing congruence with the New Testament teachings of Jesus. So it all kind of came together because it made me challenge myself as a writer and say, you know, I'm going to go back and look this stuff up in the Bible, and I'm going to go look it up in the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm going to go back to Paramahansa Yogananda and all of these other Christian mystics and see, are we all really speaking the same truth or not? And I found all of the same, running like a river between everything. And so that's how I attempted to reach people with this particular piece, was to show that there's truth there, and we are just everyday normal people. We can all experience it. We can experience oneness, no matter our wisdom tradition.
Now, why don't you describe for our listeners, for those people that don't actually know what the oneness blessing is. Tell us about Ama, Bhagavan, a little background, and what is the oneness blessing for? I know there's people around here that are giving it every week.
Yeah.
What would you say, you know, somebody that wants to know more information about, your website will help, right?
Yeah, you can find more about Oneness University. Actually, if you email us or go to charleneproctor.com or email us at tgn@charleneproctor.com, we'll find the links and we'll send them to you. But even if you Google Oneness University in India, there's some really great information out there about the blessing that I think is very clean and simple to understand. But basically, if I had to describe it, oneness blessing or diksha, I would say those two terms are pretty much exchangeable. But it's this transfer. I call it like this intelligent sacred energy. And what it does is it initiates this journey into a higher state of conscious awareness, with the idea that when you give a person a blessing, and normally it's given through the hand. So if you were to receive a blessing, it would be a person who, by the way, should be someone who is trained to do this. You know, I don't want you dialing some 800 number and saying, hey, would you give me a blessing? Even though anybody can bless anybody, which is a whole other subject. But the diksha is something one has to be trained to do. There's an intention behind it. And some people are very, very powerful diksha givers. They can transfer this energy, so it's an interfaith gift. I don't think it has anything to do with religion, and it's what it's doing is it's shifting people's perception that their sense of themselves being separate is a total illusion. Ama and Bhagwan have said for many years that enlightenment is available to everyone. Enlightenment really is just a higher state of awareness, and that enlightenment is freely given. It is not something you have to earn. It's freely given. And in India, they do believe, well, not everybody, of course, but many, many people believe that this diksha, or this unique blessing, which is this hands-on transfer power, is creating this neurobiological change in the brain, which really helps to free the mind of all this constant chatter of the mind. You know, we're immersed in chatter. Our minds are like a wild pack of monkeys jumping from branch to branch. You know what I'm saying? And it quiets the mind down to the point where people can experience more clarity. They're more open to love. They're more open to joy and more peace in their lives in many areas. So when the hands are placed on the head, and of course, and this is funny too, with our society being so left brain and logic and science driven, they're trying to prove scientifically, is this really happening or not? Because it seems like us in the West want this big scientific confirmation of everything. If it doesn't, you know, get the stamp of approval by some medical person, then it's not worthy, right?
Right.
So there's all kinds of studies being done about, is this in fact creating a neurological or neurobiological change in the brain? So what they're saying is the areas of the frontal lobes of the brain are activated and the parietal lobes are deactivated. If you went to a Sai Ma retreat, you would hear the same information from that group. It's about changing the balance in the brain. And in India, they think that that is an enlightened state, this difference of how you perceive reality. But people that I've given the blessing to, just everyday people who come to my office and get the blessing, they will call me the next day and say, you know, I have never slept better. I never have slept through the night, and I slept through the night. I feel more peaceful. I feel calm. You know, I can see the light behind their eyes. It's truly amazing, and many people have different reactions to this kind of energetic transfer of sacred energy or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
People will have huge emotional releases. They will, and I mean, I've seen everything. You know, they have visions or they fall on the floor, they're spinning. Some people, nothing. And then all of a sudden, things in their life start to be reordered. And I'm not saying that everything becomes perfect and beautiful, but there's shifts that are happening there. God is very complex, you know, in that way. And if we're asking for a change and we want something to happen in our lives that is going to make a change, it's just not going to plop down a bag of money or a new job in front of us. There's going to be giant shifts with the way things are ordered. And, you know, after working with this particular concept for the last couple of years, I can tell you that, you know, some people that work with the blessing and are receiving it are experiencing these shifts. And I don't know what to call them. I mean, I'd like to call them miracles, but these shifts are answering the need for what they're asking for. And I think it's helping to propel many, many people to peace and to a higher awareness of who they are and their behavior with other people. So I don't know. I think it's very healing. I don't know what was it like for you when you got a blessing?
Yeah, I remember that I closed my eyes. They had people coming from, there was a guy from Florida that came up. He was some...
was this the Michael Milner group?
I don't know. This is an Albany group.
Mm-hmm.
And they had somebody from Florida who was one of the key people in it. And they travel around the country, and he had an assistant. That they travel around the country, they don't charge for the services.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were giving... So a number of people came to this yoga center. And I they have meetings every week, but this, I guess, was one of the special events where they had these facilitators there. And I, you know, they would come around to you and you close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just surrendered and let myself go.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt pretty peaceful. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was very relaxed. And, mm-hmm. but I noticed what the key thing is not just a little high. But throughout the day, it continued. You know, it was a feeling of overall peace and expansiveness. It felt like it felt good. You know, just from that, just from a just on that level.
So that's a good report on what's happening out there. These intensives, though, that you go over and you study with, and I'll tell you, I don't know if you've been to India, have you? It's a whole universe in itself. I mean,
just about everybody I know has been there but me.
Yeah, well, you're going to go someday because when I went, we were in the poorest section. We were in the Chittor district, which was, on the southern coast. And the Ioannis University is in the middle of nowhere in a place called Varadipalam. And there's a temple there, and that's where the Dasas live that some of the activities are going on. And there's people that come in from all over the world. When you go there for a program or a session, you're going to see people from every single country. The languages and just being there with so many people who are releasing and experiencing, and they're pumping this energy into you. It's very, very, very intense. And, you're pretty wrung out. It's a huge experience to go and do something like that. And everybody has different, reasons for doing it. But when I first went, they were holding these programs in Fiji. And that whole experience was about the release of suffering. And I'll tell you, Gary, there is a mystical component of really, truly releasing your suffering. And I believe it now because I have been through it. When I went in, and you know what mana is?
Yeah.
They have to put you in a state of complete non-conversation, non-contact with everybody else there, because they want you to be with your suffering, to fully experiencing it. Because I'll tell you, it's the biggest disease of Western culture. We want to manage our suffering. We want to stuff it, away. We don't want to look at it. We don't know how to face it. We don't know how to experience it. I mean, I think it's a natural human reaction to some suffering that you would experience in your life. You don't want to look at that piece. You don't want to relive it. You don't want to be with it. You want to skip over it and go watch TV or eat more or shop or, go on the Internet or whatever we're doing. But we're not being with it. We are managing it, and it's getting stuck inside of us, and it's translating out into many forms of other behaviors and unhappinesses that we have in our lives. And so part of the program there is to break it down and say, you know what, you got to be with your suffering, and we're going to help extract this from you from a mystical perspective. And that's the first step toward enlightenment. I mean, how can you be an awakened, enlightened individual if you haven't learned how to live in the present and experience your suffering? I mean, if you went back and read all the stuff about other spiritual masters, Jesus or Buddha, whoever, they all had this dark night of the soul. They all had to come to terms with past. And when I went to Fiji, I remember the day that I went there, and I had to sit with the Dasa, who was absolutely, these guys were absolute beloved people. The light just emanated from every pore of them. They were wonderful. We adored our Dasas. They were the most supportive and wonderful teachers on the planet you could ever imagine. And so I sat in this room with my Dasa, and he said, okay, I'm going to put you in a state of suffering. And he held his hands out in front of me, palms down, and I held mine face up, and we joined. And he, in just a few seconds, put this energy into me, and I felt like someone was strangling my throat. And I had to live like that for 3 days without talking to anybody, and to be in this energetic process of being cleaned from the inside out it was awful. I mean, by the time the 3 days are over, which are just the first 3 days of the program, people are so sick and tired of being with themselves. suffering. It's like, oh my gosh, you can't wait until it's over. But I'll tell you, a few days after that happened, I was sitting at breakfast, and all of a sudden I felt these little electrical charges. Like if you touched a carpet, you know, like when you get an electrical charge on the carpet or your car. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's like
you
touch, it's like, boom.
Yeah, and a charge.
Like a strike. It feels like electrical strike.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and all these electrical strikes were happening at my throat.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this? I mean, I show up to this thing with no assumptions, with an open mind. I never even expected any kind of experiences at all, and all of these things happened to me. And I asked the Dasa that morning, I said, what is this going on? You know, it feels physically uncomfortable. It's like somebody's striking my throat. And he goes, that's just the electric, that's just the charges coming off of your body. Well, this is what I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know, the suffering that gets stuck in the energy layers in our body, and this is the beginning of the process, I suppose, to get rid of it. And so after that, I had many, many, many mystical experiences out there of oneness and all of this, and I was somebody who never expected any of it. I just showed up with an open mind, and it was phenomenal, very healing, and it left a big impression on me. And so I started to write, and I wrote for 2 years and continued to study and experience the teachings and try to figure out how to get other people to apply them in their life.
Yes.
So that's another little piece about the Oneness Gospel.
And how long were you in India and Fiji?
Well, let's see. You know, I'm probably 6 weeks, you know, in Fiji. You can't really take much more than 3 weeks at a time when you go to these, because India, the food, you know, that whole deal is the whole other thing. I mean, I had every vaccination in the book, and I still came back quite ill, you know, physically. And I think it's, too, because you're energetically, you've been through a lot, you know. It's like running a marathon, you know.
Yes.
So I was out there for a month, you know,
yeah.
month at a time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's about all you can take.
So what are you doing now? I mean, with your work in your practice?
Talking to you about it.
and writing this book, for one, the Oneness Gospel,
yeah.
Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You, Charlene Proctor, our guest on In the Spirit. Charlene, we're going to do a short half-a-minute break, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
I grew up in an all-white neighborhood.
I grew up in a diverse neighborhood.
Everyone I knew was just like me.
Brought something different to the party.
They definitely helped shape the way I look at things.
A neighborhood rich in diversity can leave its inhabitants better able to succeed in the global community they and their children will face. To better understand the benefits, please log on to www.aricherlife.org.
I want my kids to live a richer life.
A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
Well, we have Charlene Proctor with us, and her book is The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. Well, Charlene, this is the year 2012. Oh, I'm sorry. Charlene, I've turned your pot down. This is the year 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sound too enthused.
Well, there's been a lot of theories flying around about what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, for me, I feel, and it's not about what I've heard or learned, or that we're definitely. There's a lot of change going on, and the change is happening faster and faster. And we have, and it seems to me, I get a sense that I have to get my trip together quicker and quicker, in a way. But how to do it without getting more stressed out is mm-hmm. the key. And so that is sort of what I'm doing. I organized the Kirtan event that's coming up in April, where people are going to be chanting all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful. and getting people together. So I think getting people together, forming community, I'm being moved in this direction. Mm-hmm. I'm being moved to meet with many people, to talk with people, get a sense of togetherness, being working together, you know, and how to raise our vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to me. How to raise the way, and that's all around the way we think, where we focus, what we do, how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to others.
Maybe 2012 is just about raising consciousness and this big tumultuous vision that we get from the media. I don't know what the last disaster movie was, but I watched it and it was so depressing. I said,
yeah.
Oh my God, I just cannot watch this stuff anymore. That is all the whole idea behind it. This is a symbol. Of course, if you look at it like a third grader, you're going to say, oh yeah, the world's coming to an end and there's going to be great planetary change, and of course, if we live in fear, we're going to say that's all about floods, and the polar ice caps are going to melt, we'll all be underwater and dead, or a meteor hit, or something like that. But what you just said, and this is what I'm hearing about how it's affecting you, and this development, this desire to develop community, is that this year, this planetary change is about the shift from the individual self to knowing that we are just a small ego self, to that we are something far greater, and to, as you said, to know that all form is thought, and that we have to understand individually and then hopefully join together in various communities to project a higher totality, a higher collective awareness that is the state of, you know, divinity or self-divinity or whatever you want to call it. I mean, for many, many years, we have, as a human community, I'll bet you would agree with me on this one, is we're all projecting these lower thought forms and these lower vibrations, and that's consequently a lower state of consciousness. And that creates discord and negativity because those thought forms are distorted. Things like hate or exploitation, separation, selfishness, spite, anger, they're very sticky lower thoughts.
Yeah.
And when we are rising to our potential and rising to our higher consciousness or our God consciousness, that's all about being in love space. It's constructive. It's non-resistant. It acts creatively. This is what everybody wants. They want to live in the flow, right? We're hearing that all the time. It's like, well, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Well, how about just paying attention to what's coming out of your mouth? I mean, I'll tell you, this is so simple, but it's in one of the 12 principles for becoming a divine human that I wrote about in the Oneness Gospel. But the Dasas out in India are so big into auspicious language to say, what is coming out of your mouth? Is it said in a positive way? Is it said in a loving way? I mean, you can tell somebody you're angry without saying the F word, and all these movies. I know this is one of my pet peeves. I can't relate to it. The language, and there's people slamming each other in negative language on the internet, on TV, is so full of this lower state of consciousness, this lower vibration, that we can't survive on this anymore. We have to lift ourselves up, you know, as individuals, and to be consciously aware of our behavior, what's coming out of our mouth. I mean, we cannot live like unconscious little robots anymore. We can't live on old programming and old conditioning and living in the past or worrying about the future. We have to be fully present and to project light. Now, I mean, if you think about that, you could take 10 minutes a day and have some sort of positive effect on the world just by uplifting your vibration.
Yeah.
So the desire that you're having, that many other people are having right now, is, hey, you know, let's join together, let's figure out how to do it, let's try to create this energy that has been missing from our human experience for so long, and let's work with it and see what happens. So I guess my big philosophical take on the year 2012 is that that's partially what it's going to be about. And I know a lot of us are. Where are you, in New York?
Yes.
Are you getting this weather we're getting?
Incredible. Yeah, it's summer next year.
It's been 83 degrees for the last two weeks, and I sense that, and I've thank God every day for it because I love it. We're in Michigan, and any day in March that's above 50 is a gift.
Right.
But this there's a little change going on.
Yeah.
People are sensing that there's some shifts going on. We can actually see them now.
Yeah. It's pronounced, very pronounced.
It is, and I think we'll see more of it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I would just encourage everyone not to be fearful, because whatever it is, and to be prepared by awakening yourself, to keep taking that inventory and go get help if you need it, and get blessed for sure, and to try to be fully present, reach out to your communities for sure. You can take the New York sector, okay?
I'll take the New York sector. Yeah. I got this covered.
Good.
Charlene, you got the Midwest.
All right.
Yeah. And we got to get our people in place.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I guess they're covering California. You know how they are.
They're supposed to be ahead of us anyway, so.
I don't have to say anything about them. They're way advanced. Yeah, so I get a lot of people, friends over in California I never see. You know, they stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they come over. And I love kirtan, as you may know.
Mm.
Chanting.
Mm-hmm.
What has made me really feel good within is letting myself go.
It's a form of meditation.
It's
form
of meditation.
And
yeah.
and when Russell, do you know Russell Paul?
Oh, I love him.
Oh, he actually endorsed the book, and I met with him. I don't know, it was a year or two ago when he came to Universal. What am I thinking? Unitarian Church in town.
Yeah,
and he was doing his work there, the kirtan and the chanting.
Right.
And what's really cool about him is he's a musician as well as a spiritual guy.
Yes.
So he's got all of this combination of beautiful music and the chanting and the spiritual intention behind it. And I mean, that's enough to change a person. Well, how often are you doing it? I mean, we should talk about this.
Well, I would say about twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, but I travel. I travel. Last night I went to Kripalu for a wonderful kirtan. I sometimes go to, that's on Wednesdays, and on Mondays, Woodstock, a place in Woodstock has kirtan weekly on Mondays. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's only about, each one is a little over an hour from my house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now I'm creating a kirtan festival for a day in mm-hmm. April, and, you know, I very much am attracted to all the wonderful music and kirtan artists and CDs that come my way, and mm-hmm. and the wonderful people. The folks themselves are so filled with love, and they surrender themselves to the, because of doing kirtan so much. And even people like from Sanatam Kaur and Mirabai Seba. I could name so many people, musicians and people that are really in touch with themselves, really in touch with the beauty within themselves and others. It's a real heart opening, and I guess I feel love. I guess bottom line, it's just love.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, you know, and which is increasing. I think my heart, you know, it's like just like the heart beats, the spiritual heart beats too, sometimes closes, mm-hmm. but then it opens. It closes, then it opens. And when it closes, that's a lesson. When it opens, that's a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all learning. I think I'm learning through my heart, you know, the metaphysical heart
mm-hmm.
that beats and that opens to life and then in a way protects me from it.
You know, the lotus flower is a symbol of the flowering of the heart. And that's what's happening. I think that's what's happening to many people. It's happening to you. Who's that gal that you just talked about, the musician?
Sanatam Kaur?
Oh, have you heard her Ekankar chant? I love that I have a few of her CDs.
Oh, well.
She's the one with the turban, right?
Yeah, I know every one of her songs. I mean,
and, you know, in some of my workshops, I used to have people chant.
Ekankar is a beautiful chant.
Oh, and Ekankar means the creator is one. And since we're all part of the divine, we belong to all of creation, there's no one outside of God. This is what the chant means.
Yeah.
All are included. We're all one essence. We're all one being. And it's such a beautiful chant. And when it's done to the music and her voice is so crystal. It's like crystal clear.
Mm.
And I think it's important to chant. It's a form of prayer. You are inhaling. You are absorbing that idea that we're all one. And in some of these workshops I used to give, I would always make people chant this one, Ung So Hung. And Ung So Hung means that in every fiber of your body, the Creator exists, and you exist within the Creator to the degree that there's no difference, there's no line of distinction between you and God. And this state of awareness, this understanding allows a human being to say, I am thou, Ung So Hung, I'm thou, I'm in peace, and peace is in me. So in other words, when you're chanting this thing,
yeah,
the whole thing behind it, the whole energy behind it, and the thing you immerse yourself in is that I am the divine in every cell of my being. It's kind of the same thought as I am that I am,
mm-hmm,
because it's got the similar vibration to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe today, many people, certainly people like us, I mean, and I am, like, very broad in my thinking, that prayer sometimes in a church seems so distant. It seems like we're talking, but we're not experiencing anything. We're not bringing this vibration into us. And remember what I said earlier about people in the West so much want a connection. They want to experience something. They want to experience the divine presence. And we crave it. It's like we're homesick for it. We're so ready for it. And I notice a lot in some of these kirtans and chanting sessions and so forth that maybe people are beginning to tune into the vibration of what's being said there, and they're inhaling it and they're sitting with it and taking a little piece of that away, and it kind of reminds your body and your heart that you are part of something far greater. And I'm so excited,
yeah,
to see this happening. I mean, aren't you? I mean, people are so lit up after these kinds of things. It's really reaching them in a way that I haven't seen before.
Well, you know, I'm happy about being connected with it and learning from it and loving it. And you know, there's something from the Om Diksha CD by Manish Damour called Om Bhagavan. It is so beautiful.
Oh, I love that one.
It's by Suda and Manish Damour, Om Bhagavan. And you know what that means? That's a beautiful song. We'll play this after our interview with you.
Mm-hmm.
But what that means, and what that means is that you honor the divine within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always, it's you. The divine is within you. It's sacred. You love it. You honor it. You protect it. You care about it. Om Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
That is the divine within all of us. Especially when we can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think certain music brings that. Music, words, people. We are all messengers of the divine. You know, or we have another message, but whatever that message is, it's going to fall on the ears of those who need it. You know?
Wow, yeah.
So those, like the words we speak right now,
mm-hmm,
will be like water passing through some people,
mm-hmm,
but then some people, it'll light them up.
Yeah.
And they'll say, yes, I got it. And so you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You just live your life and express it in a way that you love the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the opportunity that I have to do radio.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I have Gary's music show, which can be anything, and this show in the spirit is definitely focused on, you know, spiritual development, and it's like, how does it, you know, why ask why? I mean, just enjoy the moment, be with it, and make the most about it. And I think a grateful heart, I mean, gratitude goes a long way spiritually, and in every attitude, it'll get you anything you want, because it's not grasping. You just know you are complete in this moment. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more you... Now, you're interviewing me, or am I interviewing you? I forgot. Charlene, that was a good question. How was my answer? Oh, man.
It's just conscious creation at work.
Actually, yeah. I say these are conversations I have with people on the on the radio. Instead of, I never like the idea that I'm interviewing anybody, although it does take some of them take that kind of a role, you know, back and forth a little bit. But I really do enjoy our conversational, and I think you and I are that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we covered a lot of stuff today. I'm so happy that I was with you today. So I thank you.
Thank you, Charlene Proctor, the Oneness Blessing best-selling author.
Oneness Gospel.
Oh, my God.
Oneness Gospel.
Thank you. Thank you. The Oneness Gospel, birthing the Christ consciousness and divine human in you. And it's a wonderful book. I've been reading. And there's so much in it. There's a lot of pages you wrote in this book. It's like a stream of consciousness.
Well, I don't think my editor would be happy to hear that, but I think it's very understandable, and I know that people are going to enjoy it. And if they want to learn more, they can go to theonenessgospel.com. And we're doing our book launch on April 24th. So if they go to that page and click at the link at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book, we have an amazing book trailer. I actually am going to email you with it, and so you can see. And we would be happy to send people a launch reminder so they can remember to buy their copy and get all of their wonderful bonus gifts when they do.
TheOnenessGospel.com.
.com.
Got it
and
right.
And if all else fails, go to CharleneProctor.com, and you'll find your way there.
Charlene, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Would you like to stay on the line? I'll speak with you off air for a moment.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
In the ears, Om Bhagavan.
Om Bhagavan. Shri Bhagavan, Om Bhagavan, Shri Bhagavan, Ananda Bhagavan, Satchidananda Bhagavan. We'll be right back.
Bye.